Welcome to our continuing series called This is Hope. Have you ever been in a place in your life where everything seemed stormy? That no matter what you did, no matter what you tried, it felt like you couldn't get through the storm? Where everything seemed to be so overwhelming in life? Where you felt that there is no light at the end of the tunnel? Well, today I want to share a story with you about how Jesus showed up in the middle of the storm. The story is found in Mark chapter 6, one of the gospel accounts. And before we look at our exact passage of scripture that we're going to look at in a moment, I want to just lay the background and tell you what's happened in the lives of the disciples leading up to the story in Mark chapter 6 that we're going to read. The disciples had just completed a very successful mission where Jesus had sent them out into the towns and the countryside, and they went around healing the sick and preaching the gospel, and things went really well. And then they had been in a day of teaching with Jesus, and Jesus had taught the multitudes. And at the end of the day, he performed a mighty miracle. The Bible tells us he fed 5,000 men plus women and children, so a group of about 20,000 people, with a little boy's lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And so the disciples have just come off of these 2 main events, and they are extremely riding, we would call it a spiritual high, when everything seemed to be going so well. And while they're just coming off this miracle of feeding the multitude, we come to the text that we're going to look at today. It's Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 45. And if you'd look at that with me, it says, "Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on the land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, 'Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid.' Then he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there." So like I said, they just completed the feeding of the 5,000 plus women and children. And John tells us, John's gospel account tells us a little bit more about the idea of the crowd. And it's important we understand that, because when we understand that, we understand what Jesus is doing here. The crowd was so enamored by what Jesus did, by the food that they received, by the miracle that they saw, that John tells us they wanted to make Jesus their king. And Jesus knew he did not come to be the king of Israel, that they could not force him to be king, that this isn't the reason why he came. He's not to be the king of a nation. He's not even come to be the king of the world. He has come to be the savior of mankind, the final sacrifice for sin. Jesus knew that his destination was not a throne in Israel, but his destination is a cross on Calvary. And Jesus can't allow the crowd to change the purpose of his coming, or to change the understanding of the disciples about who he is. And so we are told that very important word, immediately. As soon as this miracle is completed, and as the crowd is about to be dismissed, even before Jesus dismisses the crowd, he dismisses the disciples. Immediately, he makes the disciples get into the boat. Now, it appears that they don't want to leave. And why would they? They've just had these great spiritual highs, the miracles as they went out 2 by 2, the feeding of the multitude from a little boy's lunch. And they're riding this crest of spiritual high, and Jesus makes them get in the boat. The language that's in the original language here really tells us that Jesus really kind of forced them to get into the boat. Jesus is making them go away. I could almost, if you would, can you imagine the scene? As Jesus is standing there, he's gathered the 12 disciples around him. He said, boys, I need you to get in the boat. I need you to go ahead to the other side. It's time for you to leave. And I could see some. I could almost hear Peter, can't you? I don't want to go. I don't want to get in the boat. I want to be here with you. I want to see what else you're going to do. I want to be amazed by your teaching. But Jesus makes them get in the boat, gives them direction to get to the other side. I could almost see Jesus shoving the boat off of shore to make sure that they go. We're told Jesus dismisses the crowd and then Jesus goes away to pray alone. This is a great example to us. Jesus had a very successful day. He's taught the multitude greatly. He's performed this great miracle. 20,000 people have been fed from a little lunch. And after such a victorious day, Jesus recognizes the importance of being alone with God. Have you made time to be alone with God? How many times have you felt like you were too busy? Or that life was too busy and life was too hectic? Once again, Jesus reminds us and teaches us that we need time to rest and pray and be in the presence of God. Maybe through this pandemic, you've been able to carve out a little more time to be with God. Hopefully, you have. While many things have slowed down or even stopped, are you finding room to make extra time to be with God? If not, what's stopping you? When the boat was in the middle of the lake while Jesus had been praying, it was the middle of the night. The Bible says these very peculiar words. Jesus could see the disciples straining at the oars. We're not told how Jesus saw them. Did Jesus see them supernaturally? I mean, understand it. We're told that Jesus has gone off to pray. The disciples are in the middle of the lake. And Jesus could see them straining at the oars. I have to tend to believe that supernaturally God could see them, but we're not told. But this we do know. Jesus was aware of what the disciples were facing. Jesus knew that they were in a battle in that boat, that the winds were blowing directly at them. They were trying to sail directly into the force of the wind. I'm assuming that the waves were probably cresting, probably a little bit higher if the wind is so strong. They may have been cold and possibly wet. And they're straining at the oars. They're probably tired and exhausted. They're probably being blown off course from where they really wanted to go. Even though they didn't know it. Even though they were unaware of it. Even though they may have felt alone and defeated by the wind, Jesus was totally aware of what they were facing. Some of you may be in that kind of place today. Some of you may feel that you're in a boat being tossed by the winds and pushed by the winds and tossed by the waves of life. You may be feeling lost or hopeless or even alone. But this story, I want you to understand that this story serves as a reminder to you today that even if you don't see him, that even if you don't feel him, I want you to know that Jesus sees you. That Jesus knows today what you are struggling with. That Jesus knows today that you are struggling, straining at the oars of life. Jesus knows that you might be feeling overwhelmed and exhausted because Jesus sees you right where you're at. Jesus cares about you and he has not forgotten you. Look what happens next in the story. Bible says during the fourth watch of the night, that's a Roman phrase meaning between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. while it's dark. Before the dawn, while it's night, while it's still in the darkness of the night, the morning hasn't broken, the dawn hasn't broken, the light hasn't broken. But in the middle of the darkness of the night, Jesus goes out to the disciples walking on top of the water. And the Bible says when they see him, because they don't know it's him, they probably see a figure walking out on the water in the darkness, and they're terrified, the Bible says. Now, there's an old popular Jewish superstition of that time that said in the middle of the night, spirits would appear and bring disaster to people. And maybe these disciples were caught up in that Jewish superstition, and they saw this phantom walking on the water, and they were terrified. Now, it's strange to me that it's at that moment when Jesus is walking towards them that they're terrified, because I know if I was the one in the boat, I'd be terrified by the storm. I'd be terrified by the wind. I'd be terrified by the wind. I'd be terrified because I could not keep the boat on course. But these guys are not terrified by the storm. At that moment, they're terrified by this figure of Jesus walking towards them, but they don't know it's Jesus yet. See, the fear came because they were not expecting Jesus. They had just participated in the great miracle of the loaves and the fishes, but they did not understand who Jesus is yet. See, sometimes in the storms of our own lives, we're tired, exhausted, and hurting, and we really can't believe that Jesus would come to us. And we're not prepared and not expecting that Jesus would walk into our storm. I think we believe Jesus could help them. Jesus could help him. Jesus could help her. But we don't believe that Jesus could help us. So Jesus comes walking on the water. And this walking on the water is another sign that he's the Son of God. There's a verse in the Old Testament in the book of Job. It says, "He alone stretches out the heavens and treads upon the waves of the sea." Could it be that Jesus is showing his disciples and us that he is the Son of God, that he is over all the situations, that he is greater than our problems, that he is bigger than our storm? Is it possible that Jesus is showing us another aspect and picture of who he really is? See, Jesus is the one that comes to you in the middle of your storm. When you think that the only thing left to do is give up, that's when Jesus shows up. If you've been about to give up, I want to tell you this morning, wait. Don't give up just yet. Because just before the dawn breaks, just before the light comes, just before the darkness is broken, that's when Jesus will appear. And Jesus comes to those disciples in the middle of that storm. He comes as their hope. And Jesus walks into the storms of your life as your hope today. And then Jesus tells them three things. He says, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." In the midst of their feeling of extreme fear, in the feeling of their being terrified, Jesus tells them to take courage. What is courage? Courage is the ability to do something that frightens you. Courage says, "I am going to overcome that thing which is stopping me." Excuse me. There are times when we have to understand that fear is real. Yes, there are times that we face things in life and fear is real, but the courage is to come beyond that fear, to step beyond that. Jesus tells them, take courage. It's a choice that they have to make. Maybe today you are facing a terrifying situation, and Jesus is coming to you, and he's reminding you those same words, take courage. Fear may be real, but you can have the courage to overcome that which frightens you. Take courage. Then Jesus says, probably the most comforting words of all, "It is I." When Jesus speaks to those disciples in the boat, they recognize him. Jesus speaks into the turmoil of their situation with the simple reminder that he is present, that he is there. Isn't it amazing that when Jesus identifies himself, we immediately know and understand who he is? When Jesus shows up, that there's a change of perspective. When Jesus shows up in your life, he announces that he is present. When Jesus says he is present, everything changes. Take courage. It is I. And the third thing he tells them, don't be afraid. Being afraid is feeling fear. Being afraid is feeling worry about a possible result of a situation. This is the kind of feeling that comes when you don't feel in control of a situation. Maybe today you don't feel in control of very much. And Jesus says, take courage. Don't be afraid. See, if God is for you, who can be against you? There are times when the situations of life may cause you to be fearful. But Jesus says to you, don't be afraid. Instead, choose to trust God with the outcome. You may not be able to affect the outcome on your own, but there is one who can. He is the one who says, it is I. I am here. I am present. Don't be afraid. Jesus says, exchange your fear for trust in God. Our story continues if you were to read it with us. He says, then Jesus climbs into the boat, and the moment he does that, the wind dies down. In fact, we're basically given the idea that the wind stops. And the disciples are completely amazed. See, when Jesus comes into your boat, suddenly the storms die down and peace takes over. Now, the disciples still had to get across the rest of the lake. They still had to row to shore. But when Jesus showed up, their hope showed up. When Jesus shows up in your life, your hope is present. This story is a reminder about the realities of life, that we all run through the storms. We all have to ride a part of our lives through the storms, that we all face storms in this life. There are times when the wind will blow against you. There are times when you may be weary or tired or exhausted. There may be times when you feel alone. There may be times when you wonder where God is, that you call out and you think God doesn't hear you, or worse, that God doesn't care. The truth is, Jesus knows you. The reality is, Jesus sees you. And Jesus walks towards you. And when Jesus walks into the middle of your storm, Jesus brings the only true hope you could have. When the storms of life come at you, Jesus' words to you are the same as they were to the disciples that day. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. The message hasn't changed because the truth hasn't changed. The message hasn't changed because God hasn't changed. The message hasn't changed because Jesus hasn't changed. He is the God who calms our fears. He is the Lord who shows up in the middle of our storms. He is the Jesus who walks towards you and rides in the boat to calm the storm of your life. This morning, I wonder, maybe you're watching me this morning or today, or you're watching me on a tape delay. And as you've been listening, you've been saying to yourself, how does he know? I don't understand how he could know that, but he's speaking to me into the middle of my storm. He's speaking to me right where I am. And I'm not the one speaking to you, but God is. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And this morning, if that's you, I want you to know that Jesus sees you. You may not see him, but he sees you. And he wants to walk towards you in the middle of your storm today. So if that's you today, would you allow me to pray with you? I want to pray for you. Those of you going through the storm, let me pray with you right now. Father, I just thank you that you are the hope in the middle of the storm. And Father, I pray for those today who are listening and watching. I pray for those today who feel like they're in the middle of the storm and nobody knows and nobody cares. I want to pray for those who feel today that maybe even you're so far away that there is no hope. Father, I ask today that you would send Jesus to walk into the middle of their storm. Father, I ask today that you would send Jesus to calm their storm and to let them know that you see them and you care for them. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm not quite done yet. I have one more question. You've been listening to me talk about Jesus and the hope that he brings, but as you've been listening to this presentation today, you can honestly say to yourself, I don't know Jesus. Maybe you've heard stories. Maybe when you were a kid, somebody took you to Sunday school, or maybe you just know about church, you know about God, you know about Jesus, but you don't know God. You don't know Jesus. I want you to know this morning, God sees you, that Jesus sees you, and he invites you to have a relationship with him. God doesn't want to be a far off and distant. God wants to be up close and personal. And maybe you're watching me this morning and you say, I want to begin to have a personal relationship with Jesus. We want to help you with that. And so I'm going to lead out in a prayer. And if you say, I want to know Jesus, just pray a similar prayer in your heart while I pray right now. Let's pray. Jesus, I invite you into my life. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to help me know you personally so that I could know more about you and have a relationship with you. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you for praying that. If you prayed that this morning, maybe for the very first time, I want you to reach out to me and I want you to text me. Text me at my church number, which is 416-267-1189. I want you to text the word love. Text the word love to that number and it'll ask you for your name and contact information. And then we will get in touch with you, me or one of the members of the staff here at the church. And we just want to help you begin to walk this journey of hope, to walk this journey of relationship with Jesus and with God. Again, thank you for joining us today, and I look forward to having you join us again next week. God bless you.